Make your life better with a new job at UPS. Join Team Louisville as a warehouse worker, earn $14.50 plus up to $425 in weekly bonuses depending on shift. Search and apply now at upsjobs.com/Louisville. That's upsjobs.com/Louisville.
Exmark makes the mowers that care for the lawns that set the stage for the backyard life. As the commercial mowers more landscape pros trust, Exmark mowers get you on and off the lawn without compromising cut quality, comfort, or reliability. Exmark, official mowers of the backyard life, starting at $29.99. Learn about the available finance offers and check them out today at The Mower Shop, 7400 Preston Highway, Louisville, Kentucky, 502-969-6433.
CarMax is hiring experienced auto technicians for many of its 200-plus stores nationwide. If you're looking for a job where you can make a great living while working on the cars that you love, then CarMax is the place for you. Join CarMax to grow your technical expertise and work with state-of-the-art tools and technology. Work with the cars you love. Join CarMax. Apply today at CarMaxAutoTech.com.
Get ready for Sports Talk with Dan Issel and Mike Pratt right here on ESPN 680 and 105.7. Now here's Dan and Mike.
And welcome back. We are back.
What is that?
You've never listened to Dire Straits?
Dire Straits.
It's been a long time.
You've never heard of Dire Straits?
Yeah, I've heard of Dire Straits.
Dire Straits.
Well, don't play it on our show.
Oh, you don't like Dire Straits? What the hell is that, man? You know what?
Didn't you get the memo you either play country or western?
My soul hurts that you don't like Dire Straits, Dan. I'm very disappointed.
Well,
I remember Dire Straits. I can't tell you. I remember the name.
You're not the first person I've disappointed.
It's okay.
Well, Dan, we have the pleasure, Steve Moss with WKYT-TV in Lexington, who is on the Kim Crawford Wines celebrity call-in line. And Mossy, how are you doing today, brother?
I'm doing well. And by the way, I think Kyle Macy actually makes a cameo, I'm not kidding you here, in one of those Dire Straits videos back when MTV was pretty popular. Macy, playing for the Suns, was in another Dire Straits song. But, yeah, Kyle Macy in a music video.
Well, yesterday, Mossy, we had Travis Ford on, and he was in The Sixth Man in 1997. His name was Danny O'Grady. So now we've got two cats that have appeared in some form, television or movies, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty crazy. I'm surprised that you two guys have not done more.
Well, we were in one long time ago, but it never, you know, it was spliced out. We were on
the cutting room floor.
Oh, yeah, you hit the cutting room floor.
Yeah, I got it. There's a reason we're on radio.
I got you. I understand. There's a reason I'm not on TV.
Well, you've done so much up there in your career around UK athletics. And I will ask you, first of all, do you have a moment or an event that you relish more than any covering the Cats?
Covering the Cats. The Final Fours have been fun. They've been a lot of work, but, you know, between Rick and Cal taking their teams to all those Final Fours, that's been a lot of fun. We did a show last year that won an Emmy, a behind-the-scenes look at Kentucky football. I know it's the wrong shape.
No, it's good. But we're football fans. Yeah.
No, we won an Emmy last year for that. So that was very gratifying. And then, of course, we did the Joe B and Cal thing last spring that won an award this year. So those have been the fun things.
Well, that's what we wanted to talk to you about next, because Dan and I both were recruited by Joe B, personally by Joe B, to come to Kentucky, and you got Cal and Joe B together, and you know Joe B's not getting any younger, so we want to try to give him all the love we can. And Legends to Legends was your Emmy award winning production. Tell us a little bit about that.
It didn't win the football show won the Emmy, but this one won a Kentucky Broadcasters Association award. But basically, we decided, and Cal jumped all over the idea when I presented it to him, of he and Joe sitting down in Cal's office and Cal interviewing Joe about his life and his career. And, you know, it was an hour-long show, but, heck, a lot of that hit the cutting room floor because Cal talked to him for about an hour and a half. But it was just, you know, it was a wonderful chance to get the two of them together. I had always heard Cal talk about Coach Hall and had already, you know, had always seen the pictures and the video of Cal and Joe when they're, you know, in the same location together. And I wanted to just get them together and let that friendship and that admiration for each other kind of play out. And it did. You know, Coach Hall was more than happy to sit down with Cal and talk basketball. And when I asked Cal about doing it, he was like, let's do this now. He was in such a good spot with Joe, and Joe was in great health, and Cal wanted to do it immediately, you know, just to get Coach Hall into his office as soon as possible and do it. And it turned out, you know, it turned out great for me. The reception that the people had for it was overwhelming to me. So it was a lot of fun and very gratifying. And if people haven't seen it, it still lives on YouTube and on the internet. So you can Google Legend to Legend and you can watch it. It's pretty good, if I have to say so myself.
Well, Coach Hall was one of the few coaches, period, not just basketball coaches, to take over for a legend and be successful and build a career of his own. Was there anything during that that period that Coach Hall or Cal said that surprised you?
There was some playful banter between the two because, you know, Kentucky fans now are quick to point out that the schedule that Cal puts together or had put together, you know, the last couple of years with the home games, you know, playing the directional schools and all that. And Joe was like, you know, I had that tough schedule where I had to play North Carolina and Louisville, Indiana, you know, and he was rattling off the, you know, the big names. And Cal goes, what? You think I'm chopped liver here? You know, and they had a nice little laugh. And then Joe comes back with, go check the yearbook. Go check the record book. It'll show you that I scheduled great teams. And so, you know, I think Joe got his little dig in there, which was kind of surprising, but it was fun. No, the only, you know, Cal brought up kind of integration that I'm not old enough to remember. You know, back when Joe was playing and when Joe coached at Regis and Joe was recruiting African American players there. And I, you know, he talked about integration and some of the early days of his career that I'm not familiar with. So those were some of the things, you know, that were kind of enlightening to me. But, you know, I grew up with you guys. So, you know, my history with Coach Hall began when he was an assistant for Adolph. So, you know, those early 70 teams I followed very closely as a, you know, a 7-8-year-old guy. And so I've known of Joe for most of my life. I've gotten to know Joe, and I consider him a friend now. And there's, you know, there's still things that I learn about Coach that I'm going, oh, I didn't know that, you know. So there's a few of those moments in the show that, you know, you go, well, I never knew that. He talked a lot about recruiting. Talked about recruiting both of you guys, but then he also talked about, you know, he almost got Moses Malone. He almost got Daryl Dawkins. He almost got Ralph Sampson. That's probably one that Kentucky fans are familiar with, you know, that Ralph called a big press conference in Harrisburg, Virginia, and was set to announce for Kentucky, and a big media contingent from Lexington chartered a plane, flew to Virginia, and Ralph sits down and goes, I'm going to Virginia. You know, Joe talked about that kind of stuff. You know, it was a lot of fun.
Well, is there any other takeaway? I mean, could you sense, and here's what why I'm asking this, that I could sense early on Calipari's feelings for Joe B and his appreciation, right, for what he did in following Adolph and the tradition of Kentucky. But was there any one or two moments when you thought, man, this is special. This is a terrific love fest between these two guys.
Well, I mean, Cal knows quite a bit about Joe. That kind of surprised me a little bit that, you know, here's a guy who, you know, is from the Pittsburgh area. Obviously, he knows Joe as a college basketball coach, and Cal being a college basketball fan, first and foremost, a former player and then a coach. You know, you all know about all these coaches, but you don't know their personal history or their background, and Cal knew all about it. You know, Cal knew that Joe's dad was a sheriff in Cynthiana. I didn't know that Cal knew that. I didn't know that he was a sheriff in Cynthiana. But then when the show was about ready to end, you know, Cal said to him, you know, I reached out to you when I first got here because I needed to lean on somebody who has been there and done that and sat in that seat. We've heard Cal talk about, you know, how hot that seat is. He says it's like wearing a coat 24/7. And then when the show was about to end, Cal gets up out of his chair and walks over and hugs Joe. And I had never seen, you know, that from that side of Cal, outside of him and his players, but I had never seen Cal, you know, hug somebody like that. And it was legitimate. It was real. And you know, he said, I love you, and I believe it. So I'd always heard those stories and seen pictures of Cal, and you hear Cal talk about his admiration for Joe. But then to actually see it play out right there in the office, that was a pretty special moment.
Well, and not just Coach Hall. I think Cal really is knows the history of Kentucky basketball. He knows some of the players that have brought about that tradition. And I know he's always treated me and my family terrifically. And I think he does know where he is and the program that he has custody of.
Yeah, I would agree. And I think that over the course of the time he's been here, you know, he learns more and more. I mean, you all know this fan base is not going to let him forget that Kentucky basketball didn't start with him back in 2004 or whatever it was, 2008. You know, that there's 100 years of history here, and I think Cal appreciates it, respects it a lot. And, you know, I think because of that respect that Cal has for the fan base and for the history and guys like you all, last season does not sit well with Cal. And I truly believe that Cal has a lot to prove coming up this upseason, and I believe that he will coach as hard as he's ever coached and with a vengeance, excuse me, to make amends for what happened last year. So I think it's all born out of the respect that Cal has for the history of this place.
Well, Mossy, we appreciate your time, brother. And everybody can find this on YouTube, Legend to Legends, John Calipari,
yep.
Joe B. Hall. You can find it on YouTube. And you're the man to put this thing together, and we appreciate you talking about it. And, you know, Joe, as I said earlier, Joe B. Is not getting any younger, and we need to give this guy as much love as we can.
Yeah, and just for the fans, I contacted, excuse me, Joe's son-in-law, Mike Summer. Everybody remembers Mike as an offensive line coach for Kentucky, Louisville, the Atlanta Falcons. I contacted Mike a couple of weeks ago, actually, and he said that Joe was back in Lexington. Joe was doing well. He handled the COVID very well, but that he was back in Louisville. He had been in, Lexington. He had been in Louisville with Mike and Joe's daughter, Mike's wife, Kathy. And but the Coach Hall is doing very well. I think he's what, 92, maybe 93. And you know, I hope the guy lives forever. But you know, Father Time will catch us at some point. But yeah, Kentucky fans now I think have a greater appreciation for Joe now that he's not in that chair anymore. And you know, it's just wonderful to see Kentucky fans celebrate him, you know, as he richly deserves.
Steve Moss, we appreciate your time, brother. We know you got things to do today, maybe some important things too. So
yeah.
We'll be listening
keep your
watching.
Ears and your eyes open. It's gonna happen.
Okay. Thanks, Mossy. We'll catch up with you later, buddy.
Okay. Thank you both.
Thank
appreciate
you. Bye bye.
Yeah, things are moving and shaking in this state, huh? Yeah. Well, I watched
that. Do you know something we don't know, Mike?
Well, I told you there's rumors floating around. Just rumors.
Just rumors.
Yeah, well, you know, I mean, there's a hot topic out there in besides the NBA basketball, okay?
Yep.
And name, image, and likeness. Everybody's talking about. Stay tuned to name, image, and likeness.
Have you seen that Legend to Legend?
Yeah, it's really good.
I haven't seen it.
Get to YouTube. It's really good. And, you know, Mossy was right there. He was, you know, a lot of stuff got cut, but he felt the energy in the room. And, you know, I've always said that that's one of the best moves Calipari did when he got here. In the original press conference, he recognized Joe B. and talked about the history. I'm not so sure Billy Clyde totally understood the history of Kentucky basketball.
Right.
And a parallel to this was, I think, Bruce Pearl, when he was at Tennessee. You remember Ray Mears, Stu Aberdeen, and the whole staff wearing orange jackets.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And they were, you know, you could say they were ugly. They were orange. They were bright. But that's what they did. And that was their a part of their branding back in the day. They didn't call it branding then. But Bruce started wearing the orange jacket. And I think in honor, and I talked to Bruce about it once, and he said, look, he said, people remember Ray Mears, and he's the one that got this thing started, and I just thought it was pretty cool for me to put that orange jacket on whenever I could.
Right, right. Well, Coach Rupp was there for 42 years and built an unbelievable program, and he was so far ahead of his time. But, you know, Joe B., to be able to step in those shoes – and have the success that he had was excellent. I think we got some breaking news.
Breaking news.
Breaking
the Pacers
news.
Have signed Rick Carlisle to a four-year, $29 million deal. So Rick Carlisle to the Pacers.
That didn't take long, did it?
They didn't go the route of a unproven coach. They went for a guy who's been around a long time. And it's won a world championship with Dallas.
Absolutely. And I think we said that with Rick's reputation and how highly he was respected or is respected in NBA circles, it wouldn't take him long to find another job. And I think the Pacers, given the last couple of hires that they've made, Mike, they had to go the other direction and not go with the unproven guy, not go with somebody that people hadn't heard of before. They needed a name and a reputation in that spot, and they certainly got one with Rick Carlisle.
And the dominoes are starting to fall on the Kevin Lockery rule of seven, because it looks like Boston is going to hire the assistant from the Nets, and it's – they haven't officially done it, but I think it's pretty much a done deal.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to come up with his name here now.
I can't help you.
You can't help me. I've heard that before from people. I can't help you, son. You bad shape. Well, he was a journeyman player, played a lot overseas. And we're going to get his name here in a second, Dan. But the dominoes starting to fall.
Ime Udoka.
What's his last name? Udoka.
Udoka.
Udoka, yeah.
Yeah. I think he was around the league for a while, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was more of a Euro player. He played all over the country. And he was a G League player, okay, and then found his way for a couple years in the NBA. Longtime assistant, one of Pop's guys, okay, who seems to be the daddy rabbit of all coaches down in the NBA.
He really has started to grow his coaching tree.
And now if that's filled.
So there's five open.
Yep. And so Rick Carlisle, that's a big fill, man. That's a guy that was on everybody's list, right? I mean, he was you know, rumored to be with a lot of different teams, rumored to be with the Celtics.
It'll be interesting to see what Portland does, because supposedly the two on their short list are Becky Hammons and Chauncey Billups, and both assistant coaches in the league right now. I guess Mike D'Antoni has an outside chance. But, you know, Mike's getting some age on him. And he's, you know, the league has started.
68, I believe.
Yeah, the league has started to move away from those kinds of hires. It looks like, you know, now we were talking with Mark Spears the other day, and it seems like now, you know, and the pendulum swings one way or the other. But now it seems like the ideal hires are the people that they're looking at hiring are young assistant coaches from successful programs around the league.
I think Becky Hammond's one of those people that with the rest of the next five dominoes fall, she'll probably end up with one. Chauncey Billups, everybody seems to think he'll be coaching someplace. And what about Terry Stotts? I mean, Stotts has had a terrific record.
Right.
Now, he's not a young fella, but he's not old either.
No.
But he's had a terrific record. I mean, was he with Portland? 8 to 10 years? That's a long run. That's like Carlisle with Dallas.
Yeah, and successful, yep. too. He
yep.
just – his sin was he could never get them over the hump and get that team to the Western Conference Finals or to the NBA Finals. And, I, you know, there's some talent on that team. So
Two good guards, man.
I guess they decided it was time for somebody else to try.
But when was the last free agent that Portland signed?
That's a good question.
I don't think there's been one in a long time, Dan.
I don't think people want to
migrate.
You don't think that's a destination?
No, I don't think that's a destination spot. You know, that's the one unfortunate thing about the NBA, I think. They've got free agency, and it hasn't hurt the game. Okay, guys move around. They move around as with groups. But high school kids get together in the AAU circuit, befriend each other, and they talk about playing with each other. Some do. So the free agency is been still the big cities.
Yeah. No, the attractive markets, especially on the West Coast where they have the great weather or Miami or Texas.
Or Phoenix. They got Chris Paul.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
And they got Crowder. I think he was a free agent. He's a nice, solid rotation player.
Makes a nice pass from the corner, I know
You liked that, didn't you? How about we talked about how good the games were in the playoffs so far? Through the conference semifinals, 3.5 million viewers across TNT, ABC, ESPN. That's up 39% last year.
Yeah, I'll tell you, the NBA is a hot ticket. Of course, it figured to be up from last year because of the bubble and COVID and all of that. But I think it's even up from the year before. And the games have been really good.
It is up from
and that's without, you know, some of these big market teams. You know, the Clippers.
No Lakers.
The Clippers are still in it, but the Lakers are gone. Golden State's never was in it. There's no teams from
Chicago,
New York, Chicago. But there are still NBA fans that are going to watch it, especially as good as the games have been.
Game sevens, Bucks at the Nets on TNT, 6.9 million viewers. Hawks at the Sixers on TNT, 6.2 million. Most viewed playoff games this season.
Yeah.
On
some of those games, I think those two particular, they outrated, or whatever you call it, the national networks, NBC, CBS, and ABC.
Yeah.
So now the NBA is a very, very, very popular item right now.
To your point, the next stat I will give you, you're the general manager. I'm just a funky around the office here coming up with these numbers. Global viewership on NBA League Pass. I don't have that, but I had it at once, but a lot of people have it. 22% up from last year.
Global. Yeah.
Now, why that's important, you know, in your endeavors to bring a team here to Louisville, there's also conversation about teams in Europe, and that's not right now. It's down the road. But the NBA is in the business of selling trinkets and trash. hats, T-shirts, you know, mugs, whatever it is, uniforms. You know, they're in that business.
Yeah.
And there's a market over there in Europe for all of those things.
And Asia, huge market. Now, there was a blip on the NBA's relationship with China a couple of years ago when Daryl Morey supported the protesters in Hong Kong. But, you know, that'll come around. People will forget that, and that'll come back around. And so you're right. There are huge, huge markets out there globally for not only ratings, but for the trinkets and trash.
The Chinese people, or China, they're not reporting their sales because they're tired of us accusing them of starting releasing COVID.
So oh, okay.
That's why they're not releasing the numbers.
Okay. Are you serious? You made that up.
No, but it's big. You know, even with Morley doing what he did, it's still come back. Haven't they, you know, rebuilt that bridge?
Oh, sure.
The NBA?
Yeah. I mean, it's all about the money. They're not going to let the NBA or China isn't going to let that market fall through because it's huge.
Well, I just heard from my sources, Andy Beshear planning to issue an executive order. That's what it is.
So he's not – the law hasn't been passed that he's signing. It's an executive order.
Well, I think it's probably as good as the law.
Yeah, no, it is. You're exactly right. But we were questioning if the law had been passed by the Senate and the House in the state. But he's gone past that. He's doing the executive order.
And this executive order to be signed this afternoon will require all colleges in the state to allow athletes to make money based on their name, image, and likeness beginning next week. Probably beginning July 1st.
Yeah. Well, I have to applaud your discipline because you knew that was coming. And it was all you could do to sit on it.
Oh.
But congratulations. Now you can talk about it. So executive order. That's interesting.
Yeah, and now the fun begins. It's kind of like the other day I said to you, now they have the draft order.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah. And now the fun begins. And if you're in your old office as GM and I'm one of your scouts and we start now talking for real. I mean, before we played what ifs, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Now we're talking for real.
Now we know what's going on.
So same thing with name, image, and in likeness. Now, if the executive order in Kentucky, along with the other six states, they've got to put something together to monitor this. They can't just say, oh, well, you just go do what you want with your name and likeness. They got to put some structure to it now.
Yeah.
That's the neat thing that's going to happen next, I think.
Well, but again, what we were talking about earlier, they can't put too many caps on it. I mean, there can be some structure. They can talk about who's going to handle it, who's going to be responsible for marketing it. Are there companies coming in from the outside? Is the school going to do it? I can't imagine the school's going to do it. But
they've got to do some of it.
Those types of things. Yeah. But they're not going to be able to put any cap on what the students can and can't do. I mean, that door has swung wide open.
Now, see, that's where you and I are a total disagreement. I really think that these agreements with the Adidas's, the Nikes, the Pumas, whoever else, I think those things have to take precedence. But I think there'll be a big fight about it. But if I'm a school, and we talked about this, and you are on one side, I'm on the other, and you know, if you want to,
I'm on the right side, and you're on the other. Go ahead.
Well, you know what? If you were AD, you wouldn't say you're on the right side. There's got to be some protection for the agreements in place.
Okay. All right.
Okay. So if Nike's got a shoe deal,
right,
you're going to wear Nike shoes if you play at the University of Kentucky.
No way.
Or Adidas at
UNO. No way.
Okay.
No way. No way.
We agree to disagree.
Because they can't put any limits or any caps on it. That was what, I mean, that's basically what the Supreme Court said. So if the University of Kentucky has a contract with Nike, is that who they have a shoe contract with?
Yep.
And Adidas goes to Grady, we'll use the example,
yeah,
and says, we'll pay you $20,000 to wear Adidas shoes, unless he signs something that says he has to wear the shoe.
Oh, there you go. That's going to happen. You are spot on.
Is that in the scholarship that he signed?
I don't know. But it will be.
I would bet not. And if it's not, and Adidas comes and says, we'll give you 20 grand to wear Adidas, Grady's going to be wearing Adidas shoes.
Oh, no, I agree with that. Okay. I agree with that if it happens. But I think the universities, I don't know if they've protected themselves yet or not. I don't know. They've seen this coming. I hope they have. Okay. But they will be signing those things in the future.
Yeah, exactly. Well, let me tell you something we can agree on, Mike, and that's Bearnose Pizza. Let me tell you about my friends at Bearnose Pizza. There's 13 area locations in Kentuckiana. It's my favorite spot to watch the games. Great food, great drinks, great people. Bearnose has you covered for lunch or dinner. All Bearnose are now delivering alcohol, carry out, and delivery to your home. Support your local businesses. Bearnose now hiring all positions. Yeah, it's that good. Bearnose Pizza.
Almost heaven, West Virginia, Blue Ridge.
Keep it locked with Dan Issel and Mike Pratt, right here on ESPN 680 and 105.7. Now here's Dan and Mike.
And welcome back to Sports Talk with Mike Pratt and Dan Issel on ESPN Louisville, presented by Stockton Mortgage. What would you have in your dream house? The financing might not be as glamorous as a butler's pantry, but it can leave you set up for success or leave you frustrated. The folks at Stockton Mortgage can craft a mortgage that is exactly the right fit for you. Your dream home is just a mortgage away. Go to Stockton.com. What they say at Stockton is true. Find your home. They'll take care of the rest. NMLS number 8259, Equal Housing Lender.
And Dan, before we get into our NBA discussion, we talked earlier in the week about DeChambeau and how much money that DeChambeau lost by
going from 5 under to three over, I think.
Tied for 7th, and he finishes at 26. He did an accordion job, you know. He just folded up. Okay. Cost him roughly $200,000 is what I'm reading here.
Wow.
That's a lot of cash. And I guess it. If I'm reading this properly, he walked away with tied for 26 with $87,941. Not a bad day's work, but man,
no,
when you talk about $200,000 additional monies.
Yeah, but that doesn't – that I don't think that – I mean, because he had a chance to win. And when he turned –
just talking about where he was in 7th place.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, if he could have won it, yeah, he was in position to win it.
Right.
But where,
right.
Where
I got
when,
you. I got
when
you.
Poop hit the fan, he was 7th. and when it was all said and done, he's 26th.
And that was 200 grand.
Yeah. Estimated. Yeah. Could have been more potential. You know, could have been more. It depends. They had a lot of ties. They had to split the money.
Right. Yeah.
You know. I mean, you know, for couple of days work, $87,000 is not bad for most of us, me included.
Yeah.
I don't know.
You know,
about
the
you,
thing I've always had a problem with in golf is they say the pressure, you know, gets to you. But, you know, he either makes 200 or he makes 87,000. You know, that doesn't seem like a lot of pressure to me. Now, if he had to pay the tournament $200,000 for slipping that far, now that'd be real pressure. That'd be real pressure,
but you're
either going to get some money or you're going to get a lot of money. I don't know what pressure is involved with that.
Well, you wonder, next tournament that he plays, does he bounce back? Is he able to put that those thoughts in a special compartment in his brain? Well, how about Paul George, bricking those two foul shots the other night? You know, how's he going to respond tonight?
Yeah.
You know?
It'll be interesting. He better have a big game. It looks like Chris Paul's going to play and Leonard is not. So if that happens, Paul George is going to have a huge game.
and also has some help.
Yeah.
I mean, he's got to have some help. Yeah. I mean, when you watched that game last night with the ATL, the way the people that helped them.
Do they keep doing that, Mike? How does Atlanta keep winning these games? I mean, it's amazing. They are only the fourth team in the history of NBA playoffs to win three consecutive game ones on the road. Now, think about that. Only the fourth team to win
in
three.
In the history.
Yeah, of the NBA to win game one on the road in three consecutive series. I mean, it's incredible. I'll tell you what, Trae Young is so much fun to watch. And Milwaukee did a terrible job. Did you see I don't know if it's Milwaukee doing a terrible job or Atlanta just doing a good job, but when they set that high pick on Trae Young's man, I mean, it's not a brush pick. It's a good solid pick, and they knock him off. And then the guy that's guarding the picker, you know, I was always taught if your man is picking for a shooter, you got to get up on that pick. Brooks Lopez was back in the paint, and they would knock Trae Young's man off of him. He'd come around, and there wouldn't be anybody within 10 feet of him. And so they finally had to take, because Lopez was doing such a terrible job on it, they finally had to take him out, and they started picking on with Giannis's man. And Giannis was better. He was up a little bit. But, you know, they're scared to death. Those big guys are scared to death to come up too tight because Young will go right around them. And, I mean, not only was he shooting the ball lights out, but, I mean, just the way he plays. He threw to Collins, he threw a pass off the backboard for an assist. He's just so much fun to watch.
He certainly is. And he's one of those guys that he's going to follow in the footsteps of Steph Curry. Because he plays like Curry.
Right.
I'm not saying he's as good. I'm not, you know, don't text us and say that, you know, he's not that good. I don't know. I don't think he's as good as Steph in his heyday.
Well, he hasn't been an MVP yet. Absolutely.
Yeah. And this kid's
that doesn't
a rising
mean he's
star.
Not going to be one.
That's
absolutely.
Exactly right.
Absolutely.
And, you know, that's his that's six 30-point game, road games for him.
Yeah. He loves it. I mean, the more the people get on him, the more he feeds off of
showman. Would you agree? He's a showman.
Absolutely.
How about the little wiggle he had with his shoulders? He was so open. I used to call that doing the games. You know, he could get a rocking chair out there, man. Nobody's on him getting a rocking chair.
That play is exactly what I was describing. The fact that they knock his man off and he comes off, and if you're laying back in the paint. I mean, he's got all day to shoot the ball.
But to your point about the pick and roll, let's talk about the pick and roll. Okay, there's all kinds of ways to play it. You know, I mean, there's not – who was it? Jeff Van Gundy, who I really like. I used to know him pretty well. He was saying there's like 100 ways to play a pick and roll or something like that. And there's not 100 ways.
No.
There's just a couple ways.
Yeah.
And the way Milwaukee was playing, I think they were trying to stop the roller by taking Brooke Lopez back into the paint. They're going to have to move him up because the one thing that it was consistent with Atlanta, they don't set that pick and roll like some teams inside the top of the arc. They set it out. They set it out by the 3-point line.
Right. Yep.
Okay. So if you look at that, if you put it on a board, you looked at put an X where they're setting it on anywhere on the top there, and then you look at all the space. After that, just space. So the Bucks backed off. I don't know. I guess they were fearing the roll, okay, with Giannis because he likes to roll and he's good. Young can pass. But there's some place you have to make a change. You can't set Lopez back there all the time.
Yeah, no.
You
got
to move him up.
They had to take him out of the game.
Yeah, they're going
to
play small ball. I think that's the only answer they've got.
Because there was no way he could guard Young coming off of that screen. And Atlanta is so smart. I mean, they're spacing, and if you get up on that screen, Young's going to go because they're setting it with a big man.
Yep, big on little.
Yeah,
yep.
And so if you don't get up on that screen, he's going to go right around you and either float one of those shots in the basket or hit somebody in the corner for a three-pointer. And he got a lot of help last night. That John Collins is a better player than I thought he was. He's playing. Where'd he go? Wake Forest?
Wake Forest, yeah.
He's playing a lot better. And Capella's giving him just enough rebounds.
I can't believe you're talking about my guy.
The rim runner is giving him just enough.
Well, you're a big efficiency guy.
Yeah.
You know what he was shooting last night?
Capella?
Yeah.
No.
6 of 9.
Yep.
And, he doesn't get a lot of opportunity. He's got a rim run to get his opportunity.
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly.
He had 12 points and 19 rebounds.
And he had a huge offensive rebound and putback at the end of that game. That was kind of like when I was coaching, we had Dikembe. And we had to give Dikembe about every fifth, sixth, seventh time down the floor. We had to call a play for Dikembe, or he'd get upset and would stop rebounding and then stop playing defense. So you got to give him just enough touches to make him happy, and not enough touches that he's going to hurt you on the offensive end. That's kind of the way Capella is. He's got to go get his shot.
Yeah, sure. I mean, that's the way a lot of these bigs now are.
Yeah,
that can't stretch the floor with the tray. Now, Collins, he was 23-15, 23 points, 15 rebounds.
Yeah.
That's a pretty good night.
That's what I said. He's a much better player than I thought he was.
He played for Danny Manning over there at Wake Forest. Mm-hmm. I think he was a one-and-done or two-and-done guy. I can't remember. But, yeah, when Atlanta, they drafted him solely on potential, and he's starting to really he's really starting to play.
But, what they're doing, Atlanta – with winning these game ones all the time, is they're putting a huge amount of pressure on that team. I mean, if Milwaukee, statistically and historically, if Milwaukee doesn't win game two now, I mean, they're in a world of hurt. And so it by winning these game ones all the time, they're putting a lot of pressure. And obviously, all those teams, since it is a home game for all those teams, they had a better record than Atlanta had during the regular season. But that puts a lot of pressure on these teams.
I want to get right back. Let me take 2 seconds to get off this, because we had a texter, and I like the texters. They come in with some good things.
The UPS Jobs text line.
Thank you. Thank you. Nothing like a politician jumping in the middle of an issue but having no solution.
Hey,
he may have it in his back pocket, but he's going to play one card at a time. I don't know.
I'm here from the government, and I'm from the government, and I'm here to help. that's a good point. That's a good point. Somebody told Governor Beshear that he had to get his name in the mix, and he signs an executive order.
This could have been done years ago. You wait to the buzzer. You go for a buzzer shot. I hope it goes in. We don't know yet. They've just cast it up. But how about Trae Young? Would you agree he's a three-level scorer? He's got
a... wait a second. Now,
you don't know what a three-level scorer is?
Here's another glossary term. I don't know what you're talking about. What's a three-level scorer?
Shoot the tray.
Okay.
Shoot the mid-range, the elbow, right? And he can finish at the rim. He's got that little runner where he flips it high off the glass. Yeah. Okay, because he's little and not real strong. He gets rid of it before the defender comes. That's three levels, Dan.
Three level scoring.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what, I learned something.
Who in the hell scouted for you out there in Denver, man?
Every day.
What kind of report did they write up? No, nobody ever talked about three level scores. Oh, come on, man.
I've never heard that term.
Oh, no.
I've never heard that term in my life.
Oh.
I think you make this stuff up.
I steal a lot of it. But,
his
handle, Young's
okay,
handle
that,
is
I know what
so
that
good.
Is. I know what that
okay,
is.
Okay, thank you. It is so good, isn't it? Golly.
He makes it up. He has that. We were talking to Rick about kind of being ahead of the play. And, then very few people have it. And like I said, I thought Case, our teammate at Kentucky. I thought Case was as good as anybody. But they just seemed – they have this innate sense of knowing what's going on the floor, seeing the whole game. The game slows down for him. And he certainly has that. I mean, he finds the right guy. I mean, to throw a ball off the backboard for an assist – You have to have a pretty good idea where everybody on the floor is. So.
Absolutely. Give Collins credit for reading that play, and that goes back to what I'm going to say about Trae Young. He reads how the defense is playing him. He knows exactly. I mean, some guys just put their head down and boulder away someplace.
Right.
Okay, try to take advantage of their speed or quickness or their size. This kid is quick, fast. He doesn't have the size to bull. So he is always looking at how the defense is set. And how many times last night did you see him hit that, some people call it a floater, some people call it a runner, whatever you want to call it, somewhere between, you know, the elbow and the block charge. He knew where Lopez was. He just went right in there, turned the corner, didn't worry about the jump shot. He said, I'm going to take it in there and see what happens. And he just reads the game. Which makes it, as you said earlier, he's fun to watch.
Man. Yeah, no, he's a lot of fun to watch, and I hope Chris Paul, because he's another one of my favorites. I hope he's able to play tonight, and that'll make that game really interesting. Because that's a must win. Because in the history of the NBA, nobody's ever come back from being down 0-3. So that's a must win for the Clippers.
To your point with Chris Paul, he is fun to watch, and he's injured, didn't play. But on the other side, the Clippers, another guy I like watch, Kawhi Leonard. I like to watch him.
He's fun.
He's, you talk about efficient. You like efficient.
Yeah. Yeah.
This guy, man, he is aggressive. He'll go for the dunk, the high percentage or efficient shot. I mean, he's a basketball player. He's not a showman.
I'm worried. It's too quiet. It's too quiet on Kawhi. Nobody's saying he's progressing. You know, he'll be back shortly. Nobody said a word. I wonder if we'll see him the rest of this season.
That's a fair question. I couldn't tell by all the replays they had about his injury. I could not tell.
It didn't look that bad.
It didn't. That's right. Yeah. But he's a competitor. I cannot see him just taking the rest of the series off. I mean, I don't know him, okay, but I've watched him. Watched him at Toronto. Watched him out there. I mean, he doesn't seem like a guy that's just going to say, "Well, I bumped my knee a little bit."
I think you're right. Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. But it's been awfully quiet about his return.
So we're missing that in tonight's game. We're missing Chris Paul coming back. We're going to see that. But Kawhi Leonard, I mean, those two guys, they play to win. And they go for the juggler, both of them.
Absolutely.
And that's the fun part. Not that Paul George doesn't, but he doesn't do it the way Leonard does it. I mean, Leonard just tells you, hey, I'm going to jump over you. I'm going to blow by you. Don't get in my way. And he dunks it, right? And he can shoot it too. But, I mean, I just love to see him drive to the basket. 6'8", just goes and says, look. Yeah. You know, he's got a little Michael Jordan in him.
Yeah.
He's got a little Michael Jordan in him.
You know, and you hope he does come back, because you don't want the Clippers to lose this series because they're without their best player. And just like Brooklyn being, you know, Harden playing on one leg and Irving not playing. But that's part of the game. That's part of the game. But how much fun would it be to have an NBA Finals with Phoenix and Atlanta?
That would be great.
Wouldn't that be a fun series to watch?
The TV people, the NBA people, they don't want to see that. But I think for viewership, I think for people that are tired of seeing the same old teams.
Yeah.
I think it would be pretty cool.
Yeah.
I mean, I could be dead wrong. It would be fun to me.
No, I think you're right. And I heard somebody say, you know, it's surprising that you gave the viewership ratings. And they're up. And I heard somebody say it was surprising that they were up without LeBron. I think the exact opposite. I think people are tired of seeing LeBron in the finals every year.
I agree.
And they're enthusiastic about seeing somebody new having a chance to win the championship.
And Phoenix brings that energy. They're a dynamic type team because they're going to push it. They're going to shoot it. They're going to drive it. They do. They're just not a grind them out one-man show.
Yeah, just like Atlanta.
Yeah.
That's why I say if it comes down to those two teams, that'll be a lot of fun.
As we go toward the close, Dan, we have to talk about, I saw on a show this morning, comparison between KD, Kevin Durant, and Michael Jordan.
Yeah, Steve Kerr, who, of course, played with Michael with the Bulls for 2 or 3 years and coached KD in Golden State, said he thought that Kevin Durant was more gifted than Michael. Now, I'm not exactly sure what that means, if he's talking about talent or just his physical abilities, his wingspan, and the fact that he's 7 foot tall. I don't know exactly what that means. And maybe he is getting close. I mean, he had some games in that series against Milwaukee where, I mean, he just took over, and much like Michael used to do. I just have a – if they're saying that he's a better situation than Michael, and by that I mean, would you rather have him on the floor or have Michael Jordan on the floor on your team? I still think I have to go with Michael because – the fact that he was just so competitive, and he wasn't going to let you beat him. So I don't know. Whatever gifted means, maybe he is, but he's still not, as far as I'm concerned, he's not the NBA player Michael was.
Well, you know what gifted is, don't you? 7 foot.
Okay. Okay. Yeah, that's what I said. Well,
that's the difference.
Yeah. Well, yeah, then he's got a point. He's got a point there because he is, he's skinny as a rail, but he's got that big wingspan and he can do a lot of things. So, Mike, before we go, we want to thank Adam and his staff for dropping off Wing Zone Catering to the ESPN Louisville studios. Try the ESPN Louisville special, 10 boneless wings, wedges, and a drink for $9.39. Just mention ESPN Louisville, and that's good 7 days a week. Or the Thursday special, 20 boneless wings for just $14. Order online, wingzone.com.
One last parting shot, and we got a texter sent us a very nice text, but one last parting shot on MJ versus KD.
Yeah.
MJ 6'5", 6'6". He's 6'6", okay? KD 7 foot. How about the footwork on Kevin Durant? I mean, his handle, his footwork. I mean, 7 foot. That I think, is the difference.
Okay.
He's going to shoot over people. I'll tell you what a neat one-on-one would be in their prime, MJ versus KD.
Yeah. No,
that would be a great one-on-one.
But what I'm saying is, you give me Michael Jordan in his prime or Kevin Durant in his prime to start an NBA team, I'm taking Michael Jordan.
I don't know. I don't know. I think,
Mike, once again, I'm on the right side and you're on the other side.
I hear you. I just seem to think that I'm enamored with this guy, the 7 footer. I mean, you know, you can't block a shot. MJ's not going to block a shot. He's going to shoot over the top of him.
Here's the deal.
Uh-oh,
Michael Jordan is a leader. Michael Jordan leads by example. Kevin Durant's not a leader. Kevin Durant doesn't like being the guy off the court. Michael Jordan can handle the heat. That's why you start a franchise with Michael Jordan.
Okay. Well, no, listen, I think I saw Michael Jordan between his junior and senior year in high school. I followed that kid since high school. Okay.
What are they doing out there? Moving furniture? What's all that?
Yeah, I never know. Maybe it's Wing Zone and they're all scattering for it.
The locust.
Yeah, exactly. The locust. But that's my takeaway. They're both great players, and I do think Michael Jordan's a better on the court player. But if you're going to say start a franchise, I'm going to go with maybe the most scrutinized athlete other than LeBron James in history over a guy who could barely take the heat in Oklahoma City.
Well, if people want to compare LeBron and MJ, and I'm taking MJ, okay?
I tend to agree.
I'm taking
it. But if we're going Durant versus Michael, those are my reasons. That's why I agree with Mr. Dan Issel, the Hall of Famer.
Oh, man.
I love saying that to him because it always makes him laugh. They always think it's funny.
Process just put one in the middle of my back, Dan. He just dug it in. He forced it in and just making me, you know, I just can't get over the 7 footer. And that makes such a difference. I just, you know, hey, we should all be so lucky to have
absolutely.
That.
Absolutely. You know, yeah. Either one of them would be pretty good.
I'd like to coach either or both.
Yep.
You know, a little bit of pressure there. We got a texter that I'm going to read, Mr. Issel. I want to say that you guys and this show is the best radio going in this market. Thank you. How about that? Nice, nice text.
Is that from Sherry or Marsha? No.
I don't recognize the number. They may be playing, you know, playing games with
well,
the television.
Is, that nice? That is very nice. Yeah. Well, we have a good time. I don't know if anybody's listening. Obviously, there's a few people out there listening. Yeah. But, you know, we take it for what it is, and it's sport, and it's entertainment, and it's fun, and we have a good time.
As a good buddy of mine in Charlotte used to say, kicks and grins. You're going to have kicks and grins.
Yeah, well, we're doing that.
Well, that's good.
That's
good.
For sure.
Well, we won't be back tomorrow.
No,
we're going to have
best of Mike Pratt and Dan Issel, Sports Talk on ESPN Louisville, presented by Stockton Mortgage. Have a great weekend, everyone. We'll see you on Monday.
Make your life better with a new job at UPS. Join Team Louisville as a warehouse worker, earn $14.50 plus up to $425 in weekly bonuses depending on shift. Search and apply now at upsjobs.com/Louisville. That's upsjobs.com/Louisville.
Exmark makes the mowers that care for the lawns that set the stage for the backyard life. As the commercial mowers more landscape pros trust, Exmark mowers get you on and off the lawn without compromising cut quality, comfort, or reliability. Exmark, official mowers of the backyard life, starting at $29.99. Learn about the available finance offers and check them out today at The Mower Shop, 7400 Preston Highway, Louisville, Kentucky, 502-969-6433.
CarMax is hiring experienced auto technicians for many of its 200-plus stores nationwide. If you're looking for a job where you can make a great living while working on the cars that you love, then CarMax is the place for you. Join CarMax to grow your technical expertise and work with state-of-the-art tools and technology. Work with the cars you love. Join CarMax. Apply today at CarMaxAutoTech.com.